CheersCast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
I was listening to a rock and roll station on my way over here. You know, it put me in the mood. There was a passage in one of those tribal songs that I feel, is the keynote for this evening. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
Hello and welcome back to CheersCast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and forgive my poor sentence structure, but my next guest, every episode that he appears in, he is just the most beautiful podcaster that he shows up in. From Jeff and Rick Presents, please welcome back Mr. Rick Heineken. What is up, man?
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Not too much. I am just enjoying the lovely hot weather out here in the Pacific Northwest. We are up to 105 today. Woohoo!
Fantastic. That is better than being, you know, half submerged in water in Vermont.
This is true. This is very true. I guess. I don't know. I have spent my entire day in the basement of my air-conditioned house doing work, and then I went outside to go work out this afternoon, and I was like, oh, this sucks. I do not like it out here. This is not enjoyable. I want to go back inside my air-conditioned house and be a proper gentleman.
Somebody somewhere is listening to this, and they are literally on fire or freezing. Yes. So.
Yes, and they are hating me immensely, and that's okay. I can live with it. I can live with it.
I'm just thankful they're listening. So, anyway, moving on. We are at Season 6, Episode 17, To All the Girls I Have Loved Before. This one is written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs. It was directed by James Burrows, and the original air date was Thursday, February 11th, 1988. So, just before Valentine's Day, which is kind of appropriate.
Very appropriate.
Yeah. A week before their wedding, Frasier and Lilith come to Cheers so Lilith can ask Rebecca to be her maid of honor. Lilith soon becomes concerned, however, that Frasier's increasing jokes about marriage could suggest he's having second thoughts about it. She offers him the opportunity to have a wild, unchained bachelor party, and if he still wants to marry her in the morning, to let her know. At the party, Frasier's commitment to Lilith is tested when he confesses his attraction to starlet Lonnie Anderson, get in line, and his arousal at the stripper that Sam hired, until Frasier recognizes the stripper as one of his patients and sends her home. Cliff gives Frasier a too honest appraisal of Lilith, while Sam champions the personal freedoms of bachelorhood. Full of doubt, Frasier calls the bachelorette party at Rebecca's house to hear Lilith's voice, but Carla tells him Lilith is busy with the male stripper. The thought of Lilith with another man makes Frasier insanely jealous, which reveals his true love and commitment to her. With this new frame of mind, he takes offense to Cliff's earlier comments and challenges him to a fight. But the combat fizzles out after Cliff scribes 6 pages of agreed-upon rules for what body parts are off-limits. A drunken Lilith comes back to Cheers in the arms of the male stripper. Lilith admits her foolish behavior to Frasier, who admits his own, and tells her he still wants to get married. After they leave, the bar clears out, leaving Sam alone with no significant other to go home to. Allegedly, just the way he likes it. Until Rebecca asks him to coffee, and he literally jumps at the chance for companionship. What did you think about this one?
This is a solid episode. This is what we love about Cheers. It's a place where you go, you got your friends, you hang out. Your life centers so much at the bar that the planning of the party itself, and the aftermath of the party all occur at your favorite drinking location. I mean, who doesn't want that place?
Yeah, and this is ostensibly the Frasier and Lilith wedding episode.
Yeah.
We don't get like a proper wedding episode like we do for like the Carla and Nick or the Carla and Eddie one, which was just earlier this season. Really, when you think about that, this is all in the same season. Both these couples get married, but I mean the next time we see them, they're married. So this is kind of like you know their wedding episode. It is a plot that we saw before last season with Sam and Diane. But it's just kind of interesting to see them revisit sort of the same kind of cliche thing. It's like, oh, is he getting cold feet? Does she really want to get married? Well, what if we just let him, you know, like have like this wild, unhinged night, and we'll test how much he really loves her and how true he is. And it's really the thought of her being with somebody else that drives the male in these situations to be jealous and to find that commitment or something like that. So
I would say this too, is that as much as I enjoyed this episode, and as much as the plot is driven by Frasier's slow descent into madness or questioning himself, it really is all of the side jokes that are occurring that make this episode fantastic. The parts where Frasier starts pontificating about his feelings and he goes into these long diatribes, I actually found a little bit boring, but it's the little bits and pieces that occur around the periphery, the jokes that are made at his expense or the jokes that are passed back and forth between the other patrons. That's where it's classic Cheers.
And I found that too. I was like, you know, for being a Frasier episode, I was like, I don't know if this is one of the stronger of his performances. And maybe it was just like the writing, it was just kind of like felt like it's like, okay, we get it. Like, yeah, like it just seemed, I don't know, out of character for him or something, or just like he would, I don't know, like it may, or maybe it's something that we've seen from him too much, or what, I don't know what it was.
It was him unhinged. We've seen him go into these rants, mm-hmm. except they're in short spurts. This was long stretches of him going on and psychoanalyzing himself. And after a while, I mean, you look around, like the guys are kind of bored. Like, hey, let's move on to the next thing.
Right. Yeah. It's still, as you said, like what makes up for it is like everything else kind of going around for it, because it's still a mm-hmm. hilarious episode and there's still so much going on.
The jokes are on point.
Yeah, and it starts off, we get a short teaser comparatively of Rebecca's working in her office and Carla comes in with the two newborn twins, and she has to breastfeed them, and she's like, and Rebecca's like, again? She's like, hey, it's all the time. I haven't had my bra on and off this much since junior high.
That one took me a second to write down and try to get before I was laughing, because I was laughing so hard.
Yeah. And then she actually asks if Rebecca will help, and Rebecca's like, help? And she's like, yeah. And she says, like, whatever. She, like, refers to Rebecca's breasts or something like that. And she's like, you can, you know, keep one of them calm while I'm feeding the other one, and at least that one will be quiet.
You want me to act as a decoy?
Yeah. And Carla's like, so he doesn't get milk. Life is hard. That's
and she's in a room with another woman, and she just grabs the sides of her blouse and pulls them close to her. She's like, I have to hide my breast from this other woman because she's crazy.
So good.
She's going to throw one of her children at my breast, and that is not okay.
It kind of like perfectly sums up Carla too. She's like, yeah, so yeah, I'll be tricking one of my children into it's thinking it's getting food when it's not actually feeding and nurturing on anything. And that's just a life lesson that it's going to have to learn when it's only a week old.
And once again, to any woman out there who has had to try to fight to find a space to feed your child or to actually pump breast milk for your child, I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry.
It sucks.
It sucks.
Yeah, we know. After the opening credits, Frasier and Lilith come in. We found out they're getting married next Saturday. And Frasier says, we're in the process of writing, editing, rewriting, and researching our wedding vows. So,
in that order is what he says, which is, it makes you think that they've gone so far down the path of this that they're researching what the other one has written. Were the citations possibly at the end of the vows?
At this point, Lilith goes over to Rebecca to ask to be her maid of honor because, well, she says, you know, all of her friends will be out of town, and they have had a conversation before.
Why don't you get your best friend? You are my best friend.
You are my best friend. Rebecca's like, okay, in that case, sure, I'd love to do it, Lila. And Lilith corrects her. Like, Lilith, she's like, oh, of course, I should know that.
Let me ask you, have you ever been the best man at a wedding?
I have, yeah, actually.
Have you ever been asked, and you've looked at the person and said, you you have to have a better friend than me.
Well,
I have done that before. One of my friends asked me to be the best man. I looked at him and said, we're pretty good friends, but there has got to be a closer friend to you than me. And they said, no, there's not. And I said, that is kind of sad, my friend, but I will be there for you.
So, yeah, so it was actually for my brother, who was like the ultimate best man. He should just be everybody's best man for everybody's wedding, because he's that type of character. So I was like, okay, yeah, I'll be your best man. I'll write the speech, but you've got to take care of everything else. I'm not good at that, like arranging this type of stuff. He's like, oh, it's already taken care of. So
let me see your checkbook. Wait, what?
I do like the part. It comes back a few minutes later when they're talking about bachelor and bachelorette parties, and Rebecca and Carla are going to throw one for Lilith, and Rebecca goes, Lilith, you're going to have to tell me who to invite because I don't know anything about you. It's such a good line.
The good news is that Rebecca knows all of Carla's friends because they're all in that room.
Yeah. And Lilith offers to repay Rebecca. She goes, if you ever need to commit a family member to a mental institution, I could certainly speed up the paperwork. And Rebecca's just like, that's very dear of you.
The look that goes across Rebecca's face. Christy Alley is fantastic with her deadpan facial expressions in these moments where you can see her processing everything that was just dropped at her feet. And she's, how to respond in a professional manner, thank you. Mm-hmm. And just slowly back away.
And then we have this thing here where Frasier asks Sam to be his best man. And it's sort of like this assumed thing. And Sam seems uncharacteristically uncomfortable about the idea. And like, he's like, I have to give a speech and everything like that, and like he just seems like he's not sure he wants to do it. And I was like, it's not like he's uncomfortable about doing it for Frasier, but he kind of seems like, oh, I never thought I would be in this position. I'm like, I find it very hard to believe that Sam was never a best man at somebody's wedding, like with all like his baseball friends and everything, like the kind of guy he is. Like,
I don't know. There's part of me that agrees with you, but there's another other part too that anybody that is that close of friends with Sam probably also knows it's not a good idea to put him in a situation with a bride and bridesmaids. So maybe it's kind of like, you know, Sam, I'd love you to be best man, but we just don't trust you.
Yeah, that could be it. Fair enough. Yeah.
But I think there also is part of it too, is he's also, Sam is also just a little bit lazy. And that is part of his character, is that he is a little bit lazy about certain things. I don't want to write a speech. Oh, I've already written one. Well, then, yeah, great, I'll do it. I think Sam likes everything else, but yeah, no, I don't want to write the speech or anything like that. Yeah.
I mean, it would be kind of like, I mean, given the nature of their personal history, like, what kind of speech would Sam say? Like, this is how I first met Frasier.
This is the, I know Lilith. This is a better marriage than he could ever possibly have with Diane. And done.
And they do. Sam, of course, brings up the bachelor party, which is the one thing that Sam could, you know, take care of without any problem. And Frasier has to ask Lilith for permission. And her line, she goes, while I find that particular ritual as passe as taking the top knot of one's dead enemy, I will not deprive you of the experience, immature though it may be. Frasier's like, yeah, she's a gamer. So, but I just love that. She's like, I found that as passe as taking the top knot of your dead enemy. I was like, oh my God.
I could not keep up with Lilith.
She's going all
sentences.
Feudal Japan in this situation.
Oh, she has some fantastic ones. We skipped over one before when they first come in, and Frasier says something, and Lilith's response was, "Your deplorable sentence structure." And that line stopped me right there. It's like, I wanted to go back and just start diagramming the sentence that Frasier said, because it was that fast of a hit. Mm-hmm. Lilith was on point. Yes.
Yeah. So they're talking about it. Where was it? Oh, I completely lost my place in my notes. So, So, you know, Frasier, he's going over with the guys, and he starts making these jokes about, you know, the ball and chain, like the marriage and everything like that, and taking it. And Lilith is noting this and getting a little bit concerned that the frequency of his jokes about marriage may suggest that he's getting cold feet or having second thoughts. And she kind of throws down the gauntlet. She's like, if after your madcap night of debauchery and vomiting, you still want to go through with this wedding plan, so you can call me. And he's like, you know, this is completely unnecessary. He's like, you don't have to do this. And she goes, up until this point, you've seen me only my warm and vulnerable side. But now I must get cold and analytical.
With Baby Newhart's deadpan delivery.
Oh, she's so freaking good. She's so good. She says, now I must get cold and analytical. And she goes, as if you could, my treasure. So.
As if you could.
Yeah.
It was his fourth derogatory remark. Mm. Once again, just precise. Very precise.
So, back at the bar, Woody is saying that he hopes the bachelor party is keen. And they kind of laugh at his word choice and saying, like, you know, I don't know how things are in Hanover, Indiana, but in Boston, you know, the bachelor parties can get a little bit intense for, you know, a little farm boy. And Woody goes, well, did you ever dress up farm animals in women's clothing?
No.
And they're like, no. And they're all kind of just looking at each other. He's like, oh, then I'm one up on you.
And once again, we'll start keeping count because there are three scenes in this that are from the Cheers 200th episode. Yes,
yep,
there are. There are three scenes.
Yep.
This is one of them. Followed by another one.
Followed by another one because we get to later that night when Frasier comes back and he was listening to a rock and roll station. I love that he couldn't just say he was listening to the radio. He had to specify that way.
Like, one of those tribal songs.
Yes, there's a passage. One of those tribal songs that I feel is the keynote. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody Wang Chung tonight.
And never has those words been said in such a way that have been so hilarious, except right then.
It's so good. Such a good. Funny song, too. I was like, why do they name check themselves into the song? It doesn't even make sense. But
It doesn't make sense. Everybody knows it. It's a fun song. It's a great song.
Yeah.
And they come in, and he comes in and just, boom, staccato delivery, and the bar erupts. Perfect. Let's go.
And I can say it is my second favorite Wang Chung song.
There's a first?
There is. They actually had others. But yeah, Dance All Days is awesome.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
So the guys start talking about, you know, the women they want the most or something like that. You know, girls, if they could have anybody. Pete, one of the tertiary guys, talks about Kathleen Turner, which I think is kind of funny because she was, you know, made famous in the movie Body Heat, which co-starred Ted Danson.
Yep.
Tom, one of the other guys, says Kim Basinger in 9.5 weeks.
10
Norm.
Weeks. Sam's line is 10 weeks.
Ten weeks. Norm says Jill Eikenberry from L.A. Law. Now, not Susan Day, who is the younger, more attractively, you know, cast member. He goes, Jill Eikenberry from L.A. Law, because she's married to a short, dumpy guy. And he's like, there's something about her I like.
Norm is not dumb.
No,
he is not the dumb one in the bar.
Yeah. Jill Eikenberry was also in the movie Arthur, which is one of my all-time favorite movies, like top five favorites.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. There's a little bit of a callback here. Before we get to that, like, you know, Frasier says, you know, if I could have any woman, it would be Lilith, and they give him crap for that. They kind of say, so he's like, all right, well, how about Lonnie Anderson? And, you know, it says something about, like, the size of her chest, like her oompas or something like that.
There are oompas that make Phil Souza want to stop or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a musical
reference. A real deep cut there.
Yeah, John Philip Sousa wanted to. So we cut back to later on in the night of the party. They're all back in the pool room. There's a kind of a callback here. Sam is telling a story, and he says that his first sexual experience was in sixth grade with the school crossing guard. Now, this is kind of like in character, but it's a little bit different because in the season 4 episode, Don Juan is Hell, he said that this was when Diane was writing a paper on him for her class. like about his, you know, sexual conquests and everything, trying to be analytical. And he said he couldn't remember exactly how old he was the first time, but he knows that he had to wait for the crossing guard to get in order to get to her house. And then she's like, okay, what about your second experience? He's like, well, that was with the crossing guard. So
it changes from telling to telling. And I'm sorry, now that we are really into the guys' night, I should also do this too. I forgot earlier on. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Let me go ahead and open up my beer for the evening, because I did forget. But I did bring Maiden Lace. I thought it was appropriate. A little bit of a cheers to the upcoming nuptials.
Yeah.
I'm sure Lilith is a maiden.
Yeah, right? Of course. Yeah.
Actually, I'm sure Fraser's a maiden. go on, though. Go on.
Anyway, like, Norm is like, yeah, that sounds like it was more exciting than his first time. And, like, somebody is like, well, was it your wedding night, Norm? And he's like, it's the following week.
Next week.
And you know, Fraser says, you know, like, even, you know, he's like, how great Lilith is. She said, I could do anything tonight. Like, I was completely off the chain, like, off the hook, you know, that gave me freedom. And the guys are like, well, that sounds good, but maybe it's her that's having these second thoughts. And maybe she's, you know, kind of giving you this out because she's the one who wants to do that. And he's starting to have some kind of doubts. And he's like, well, let's call her bluff. Let's challenge her. He's like, bring out the stripper. A girl comes out, and actually I have to, you know, credit where credit is due. Karen, the stripper, mm-hmm. played by Karen Laurie, who was Playmate of the Month 1982.
Yes, and actually, yes, she
had,
was.
Yeah, and then had various acting parts, too, throughout this era.
I will say that while I was watching this last night in preparation, my wife was just walking around the living room, looking at her phone. That was the moment she looked up.
Of course. What are you watching?
Just like, wait, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah,
like, why have the joke stopped, and why is there a stripper on the screen?
It's like, sweetheart, give it 30 seconds. The punchline will come. Just wait. Just wait for it.
I would give it 30 seconds, but you've paused the TV. Oh, dear, I have.
So, yeah, they're oogling the girl who is very, very trying. I mean, a Playmate of the Month. What else could you expect? But yeah, she's dancing on the pool table, which this is the one thing where, like, I was like, okay, just stop analyzing this thing and just, like, enjoy it. But I was just like, would Sam really want her dancing on the pool table? It's like, if she scratches the felt, those things cost money to be replaced. So
this is a cruddy little bar in Boston. You think that pool table has not been ripped up, stepped on, grown up on, peanuts on.
Actually, considering when most people are playing pool in a bar, they're already drunk. Their chances of just, like, yeah, just scratching the felt on any given shot are pretty
good. This is the stuff that we have seen happen in this back room. the amount of times that table has been moved for what have you in that back room. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I'm not worried about the pool table.
Yeah.
Besides, I'm watching the Playmate dance.
Right.
I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
Priorities.
But then when she actually turns and faces Fraser and gives him a good look.
No, she does not turn to face Fraser. She does a backbreaking bridge where she just arches her back and is looking at Fraser
upside down.
Yeah. And says, Dr. Crane?
Yeah, because Fraser, you can't violate doctor-patient confidentiality like this, because he recognizes a person, shouts her name, and she's like, Dr. Crane, and they're like, you recognize her? And at that point, I was like, how else would he recognize her? But he actually says it's one of his patients.
I hope this has nothing to do with your daddy issues.
Yeah. He's like, please tell me you're doing this for the money. This will not square things between you and your father. That was such a good line. That was almost my home run.
Hammer nail. Oh, man. Oh.
So later on, after the group, like, he's got her dressed up in her coat and everything, and he's saying, Fraser is saying goodbye to Karen at the party. She's like, I'm sorry, I ruined your party. He's like, no, it's fine. Nobody's mad. And you cut back to all of the guys in the bar staring, who are really not happy that they didn't get to see her naked.
It is an absolute still painting of these guys with the most angry look on their face, just disappointed, angry, and hurt.
They're like, damn it, Fraser. So he bids her farewell, and he comes back and he's still having more of his doubts, and then Cliff starts to go in to like dig in. He's like, "Yeah, you don't want to get married to her." It's like, "Come on, Lily." How does he phrase it? Like, "Lily Stern." He's like, "The name makes your butt cheeks clench up or something." He's like olive oil without a fashion sense, I think.
Yeah. They start to say, "Well, let's be honest about it." And Cliff steps up, and Norm puts his hand up and says, No, don't do this. No, I mean, I wish I was there for you at your wedding night. And that's enough for Norm. Just like, go ahead.
He's like, all right, fine. He's like, I can't argue that one. But you notice, I mean, in the beginning, like, Norm's gut reaction was to defend her and to try and, to help. Because as much as Norm jokes, we do know that he does actually love Vera. And, like, he cares about that. And he cares about fidelity and the sanctity of marriage. He likes to belittle it and bemoan it because that's what else has he got in life. But, yeah, so his first thought is, Frasier, stop freaking out about this. Calm down.
There also is one of those things, and I recently watched all of Ted Lasso, and so this kind of stuck in my head too, is you've got a friend who you think maybe their partner's bad for him. You don't tell him.
Right.
That's not what you do. You try to support them. And it's like, oh yeah, Cliff, you're crossing the line. Of course it's Cliff, and that's what we expect of him. So
So Frasier asks Sam for one reason why the single life is better than being married, and Sam rips off a whole list about the things that he can do and his personal freedoms and all how great it is. It goes on for like 30 seconds, and Frasier's like, I only asked for one reason. So feeling really like distraught at this point, he has to hear Lilith's voice, so he calls Rebecca's apartment to hear Carla's answering, and she tells that Lilith is undressing the male stripper, and Carla says, she's like, I gotta go, I gotta bet this guy is packing socks. Like, oh my God, Carla.
I'm surprised Carla had to be the one to answer the phone. It would have to be Carla or Rebecca. In Rebecca's house, she's at her party. It makes sense for Carla, but honestly, Carla's the one that's closest to the stripper at any party. How is she the one that's part of this? I don't know.
So, yeah.
We also have one of Woody's great lines right here. Woody says, where did they put the tassels on him? That one caused me to pause. I have to pause for a second. I have to write that one down. Some of the through line is not great in this. It's the side jokes, especially like from Woody and Norm, that are just absolute killers in this episode.
Yeah. So at this point, Frasier is getting like insanely jealous. Like, he thinks she's going to be with the stripper. And they're like, you don't know that she's going to like go to bed with him. And Frasier says,
I do.
You don't know my Lilith. Once her libido is cut loose, there's no tying her down. Unless, of course, that's what she's into for the evening.
The visions that are painted in our head. Oh, dear.
So the thought of his beloved with this sexy, hulking, throbbing chisel, he just keeps going off on like these descriptions, and Sam just trying to snap him out of it, trying to calm him down. And, like, Frasier just is like off, like a he's broken. He can't. Like, he needs to be reset. So Sam just has to throw a drink in his face and reaches for the closest glass, which is a shot full of creme de menthe. Just throws this in his face, and he's like, "You couldn't find some water?" He's got this green liquid just pouring off of his face.
This is one of these moments that it's a convention that we've seen. They've used it on the show multiple times. They throw a drink in somebody's face. And this is one of those times where they just turn it on its head, and it's like, it was creme de menthe. I mean, even a beer seems like more logical, but creme de menthe, what's that? That just hurts.
It's going to be sticky all day, all night. Like,
it's going to sting, and then it's going to be sticky, and people are going to look at you weird, and you're going to smell like mint.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's not too bad, but still.
He's like, damn it, Sam. He's like, what's wrong? So Frasier realizes that the reason he's jealous is because he loves her so much, and that makes him offended at what Cliff said earlier. So now he's got to avenge her honor by fighting Cliff. They start to circle around, but they first agree not to punch in the face, because that can lead to brain damage, Cliff says.
And not below the belt.
As Frasier says, I'm going to get married in a week. So. And then they're like, okay, well, what else? They start lifting up places, and Cliff is like, not my right shoulder, because that's that's my bag shoulder that he has to carry. His bag, he needs that. So, Frasier's like, where does that leave us? And Cliff has, like, pages and pages of their rules. He's like, it's leaving me with bad case of writer's cramp.
Let that be a lesson to you.
Let that be a lesson to you.
And by this point, it would start off, everybody was surrounding them, and they cut, and everybody is off playing poker off in the corner, because that is boring now. They have gone past the time.
Yeah, this is like such a horribly wasted, stupid bachelor party. And at that point, Lilith finally shows up. Completely smashed. She's like, the stripper has brought her back here. Yes. And the stripper, Randy, who is played by Deke Anderson, who I love this. He's basically an acting coach. Like, he had, like, recurring roles, or, like, parts that he would show up and stuff, but I think he was an acting coach professionally. So I love the fact that he was in this episode as a male stripper.
So, he looked the part. And I think he came in and sold his scene really well. I mean, his butt is this size, as Lil tells us.
It's such a great moment. She's like, the wedding is off. She's like, sorry, Frasier. She's like, I'm getting married to Randy. If anyone wants to get us a wedding present, his butt is this size. And she just holds out her hands. Like, just like the objectification and the reversal of it is just so good. She says you can call me Sheena, Queen of the Jungle of Love. So Randy's like, yeah, he's like, she brought me here. He's like, I need cab fare. So Sam gives him some money from the till or whatever. And he gives Lilith a wink as he's leaving, as he's like stuffing the money.
He puts it right in his crotch. Yeah, he shoves
the money right down there and gives Lilith a wink. And she reaches back for him. It's like, Randy, no. And she turns around and this is my runner-up for my thing, but she goes, I'll never be able to hear Shock the Monkey again without crying.
The name-checking of songs in this episode.
Wayne Chung and Shock the Monkey. I was like, oh my god. Oh, the soundtrack for this one. So, at that point, like, you know, Frasier, he sits with her, and she's like, yeah, she's embarrassed. She thinks she ruined the wedding. He's like, no. He's like, I went through the same dark night of the soul of like examining, but they still want to get married. She's into it.
Where was the line of licking Bosco off of Randy's chest? Sorry.
So. They walk out together, and they're happily to go get married and everything like that. And at this point, everything is gone. Everybody else starts to go home to their significant others. The Norm's bit here I'm going to save for my home run. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and this is the third line from the Cheers 200th. Yes. Yes.
So they all take off, leaving Sam alone to clean up after the bar and everything like that. Rebecca comes in. She's like, oh, I was going to clean up. He's like, no, it's my job. She's like, yeah. I forgot you like being the night owl. He's like, oh yeah, I love being the single life and everything. And they all went to their back home to their wives, the Saps and stuff like that. And she starts complaining. She's like, once the stripper left, the bachelorette party turned into this dull. Like, she's like, everyone was arguing over mayonnaise and Miracle Whip. So Rebecca takes off to leave. Sam sits down on a chair to watch TV, eating a donut for dinner, which is what he said he could do. That was one of his freedoms that he told Frasier about. And then a couple of seconds later, Rebecca pokes her head back in. She's like, do you want to get coffee? He's like, oh, God, yes. He runs out after her. And he's like, yeah, just to have coffee or something like that. But just, yeah, the idea of actually having someone to go home with her to talk to at the end of the night, it's, yeah. Sam protests too much. Yeah,
it's part of him chasing women and going out with different women is that he can be with somebody at the end of the night. It's not the same person.
Right, yeah.
But, you know, he usually is. And just so happens tonight, he wasn't until he had an offer. It's a fun episode. It's just, like I said, some of the parts with Frasier get a little drawn out and dry after a while.
Yeah, and I think, to me, I think maybe that's just like the one little weakness of this episode is we've seen Frasier be neurotic, and I think we've seen it for the same reason. Like basically when she gave him the ultimatum and he wasn't sure if he wanted to propose to her, which was just like earlier in the same year, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, yeah, we've already seen them kind of go through this crisis of, is like, does he really love her? Does he want to get married to her? Or does he, is he going to like follow the advice of like the guys in the bar and, you know, be a bachelor or something like that? So I was like, all right, it feels repetitive. And also like the whole thing with like the bachelor party being a test. I was like, we saw that with Sam and Diane last season. So part of it just feels like, well, we've seen this before. Maybe it was done better last time. So it's just a little bit repetitive, but yeah. Everything around them, all of like the ancillary stuff, every side character, every side joke, every side bit is just hilarious. So it's mm-hmm. still a strong episode despite that.
Yeah. And it's got some standout parts in there, which I think we're going to get through when we start talking about the employee of the week too. This is a good ensemble cast where they can do this. They can have episodes that feature one person, but everybody gets to be their part in it. Everybody gets to have their lines, and they all have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's friends hanging out with friends. It's the thesis of the show.
For Norm's tab, he had 4 beers this episode, which brings him up to 553 for the series.
Huzzah!
Yeah. For the employee of the week, I actually, she has a smaller part, but I gave it to Lilith just because of how funny. I mean, she's funny in the beginning when she comes in, when she's like, now I have to be cold and analytical. But like, when she comes back and she's drunk, she just steals the last 5 minutes of the show. Like, just,
yes.
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. She was my top one. I'm going to give you all the credit to the world on that one. That was my top choice. Close second place was actually Woody. Like I said, Woody had some perfect zingers in there. Everybody did, but there was like 3 or 4 times where just Woody came in with this little funny punch. You know, we dress up animals in women's clothing. Where do they put the tassels on the stripper? It's there was another line later on where Woody's like, "Well, you can still catch him." When he's talking about Randy, it's like, "No, Woody, no."
Oh, yeah. She's like, "I've lost the love of my Oh, because she thinks that her behavior like ruined everything with Frasier, and she's like, "Now I've lost the love of my life." And Woody's like, "Oh, you can still catch him."
And then Sam's like, "No, you got to keep up with what's being said."
Yeah, that was good. For the home run though, like the shock the monkey bit, just that caught me by surprise because I never remember that. That's like one of those jokes that's like, it's just so obscure that like when I watched this, I was like, shock the monkey. but the best part is just, I don't know, like he's been comparatively quiet the entire episode. Norm has. He's had some good ones, but like everybody else got a little bit of a stand out. And then as he's leaving, he's like, "I gotta go too. I promised Vera I'd pick up some Chinese food." And they're like, "Oh, that's very nice of you, Norm." He's like, "Well, I spilled it on the floor this morning."
and that's the drop mic moment. And he's like, and the guy who made the comment, it looks at Sam like, "Well, I'm out here too, I guess." Nothing. Yeah, that was my top one too. Another memorable line that was captured in that 200th episode, and I love it. I always forget that it's in this episode because it could be fit anywhere. Absolutely. It's Norm leaving at the end of the night. It's just him saying a line, and it's perfect. It's fantastic.
The structure of that joke, it feels like a very old-fashioned, like, madcap 50s type of joke.
Vaudeville.
Vaudeville. That was the word I was looking for. But to have Norm's delivery, or George Wendt's delivery, and like the way the structure, the way it's coming from him, and everything that we know about him and the way he thinks about his relationship with Vera, it's just, oh my God, it just paints such a picture.
It's like out of the Bickersons or Burns and Allen type of a thing.
Yeah.
Definite straight man joke. Perfect.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good. Any others? Any other like notable lines you thought?
No, I think we hit most of them on the way through. Like I said, I had to go with that one for the same. The shock, the monkey, the Wang Chung tonight, the song references there. I kind of also kept going back to that first joke that Carla had. I've got my bra off and on most since junior high. That one just kind of like, the hell.
And Again, I mentioned it too before, but like Kirstie Alley's delivery when she's like, when she's talking about the bachelorette party, she's like, "Well, you're gonna have to tell me who to invite because I don't know anything about
you." You should invite your best friend. You are my best friend.
And it's just like, well, all my other friends and colleagues will be out of town, and we have had a conversation before.
Thank you very much for inviting me. I always enjoy talking about the show, and it makes me laugh. It just makes me laugh.
It is. It's a good one. So, yeah, glad to give it to Lilith in this episode as the Employee of the Week, because the next time we see her, she will be Dr. Lilith Sternen Crane, hyphenated. So, until then, Rick, where else can people find you if they want to hear more about you in the podcastosphere?
Well, me and my forever fiance Jeff, we'll tie the knot one of these days, I'm sure. Well, him and I, we do a little show called Unpacking the Power of Power Pack, where we talk about comic books that have a member of Power Pack in them. Right now, we are about ready to enter the Avengers Academy era and follow Julie Power for a while. So if you want to hear about obscure comic book characters from the 80s that have somehow made it into the 2000s, check us out on Unpacking the Power of Power Pack.
Very cool. Very cool. All right. Thanks to you, and thanks to all of you out there who listen to CheersCast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the show, like Rick does, the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. This show is patronized by the Right On Network, as well as Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of the Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and until next time. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody wank chung tonight. Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody wank chung tonight. Everybody have fun. Hey, I don't know about Indiana, but around here when guys get together to send another guy off to his doom, things can get a little raunchy. You fellas ever dress up farm animals in women's clothing? No? Well, then I'm one up on you.